Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files, and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Hello everybody, this is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booker County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America, and this is our interview for the 1st of October, 2005. Our guest elder is Chakosh Alho, and she is a Chumash elder, and I'm speaking to her in California. And how are you, Auntie?
Oh, I'm doing well, getting over a bit of a cold, trying to keep my wits straight in these strange times.
Well, I understand you want to say an opening prayer. Go ahead and say that now, if you would.
Well, I figure it's always a good idea. I'm not feeling particularly inspired tonight, but maybe Spirit will use me. Oh, great mystery, I'm calling out to you in a sacred manner. With honor and respect, we come here making ourselves vessels for thy will, thy beauty, thy love, thy truth. May we be as hollow reed from which the pith of self is removed, so that your wisdom, the touch of your being and breath, may flow through me to others, and may this journey be blessed. Oh, great mystery. Look at the times that we're in. On the one hand, all I could think of when I went into my prayers to see how I could be used during this phone call. I just feel the great schism between what is this spirit world and what is this political reality, you know, and how much of a reality is it? It seems pretty brutal. And all I kept hearing is, on the one hand, the Taoists say that the enemy had a weapon, and it proved to be the greatest weapon of all, and that was the ability to astound. No one could believe how ruthless they were until it was too late. And then on the other side, I hear what the Guatemalan people say. They say the elders, for all their gifts that they have given us, all the beauty, the music, the dance, the food, each other's eyes, arms to hold each other, the mountains, the volcanoes, the sky, the ocean, and all of its peoples. And for all these gifts, the gods ask but two things of us: to be beautiful and grateful. So what do you think of that? On the one hand, this astounding enemy, their ability to astonish, it's so hard for us to believe how ruthless they really are. And on the other hand, in the meantime, we are asked to be beautiful and grateful.
Oh, well, that was an excellent prayer. Thank you, Auntie. So how has life been for you this last year or so? You've been all over the map and everywhere and nowhere.
Yes, it's been very good. I'm in a state of grace and gratitude these days. I'm feeling very fortunate on my own personal life, and then paying attention to what's going on the other side and wondering what to make of it, and like everyone else, what do we do with this?
Yeah.
So I'm just living somewhere between the Taoist saying the enemy had a great weapon. It was in fact the greatest weapon of all, and that was the ability to astound. No one could believe how ruthless they were until it was too late.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it, from Guatemala, Martin Pertel in his book spoke that the Mayan gods ask but two things of us: for all the gifts they have given us, all the wealth and beauty that they share with us, they ask us to be beautiful and grateful. So I'm somewhere living between those two realities.
Yeah, that's a trick.
Yeah, keeping your eye on what's going on and being grateful for what I have, which is a great deal. In the midst of the ugliness is something exquisite. That's what a core truth of something wonderful, something that's in the river that we need to let ourselves go and join others and keep our eyes open, our head above water, and celebrate the beauty that's here.
Well, you've, I guess you've been to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And have done some other events with some of the elders that you were telling me about the other night. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing a lot of storytelling, and combining it with musicians who come along. We never rehearse, we just burn sage and ask spirit to ride us. And these are the stories, the ancient tales of creation, migration, and prophecy, many of which I shared with you before.
Mm-hmm.
And on the last interview. And so, you know, it's just, you know, it's got me befuddled, and it's only in my prayers that I can find some peace. And yet, it's not time for us to sedate ourselves or be distracted either. So they've got, the elders are doing well, you know, it's beautiful, and they keep carving up the land over there.
Yeah.
While I was there on the main, on Oahu, there were 300 Stryker tanks delivered, airlifted onto the island, the little island of Oahu, and these things cost $2 million apiece. And they're being, hundreds of them are being delivered to the islands all over, to Kauai, the Big Island. I'm not sure if they're slated for Maui, but probably. And these are, you know, domestic weapons.
Mm.
So, I'm just kind of watching the noose being pulled tighter. And I feel strongly that there is a core principle, a strong medicine that is at work. You know, I think we're all looking for someone who knows. Someone who will lead, and yet the elders say, the Hopi said, do not look outside yourself for the leader. I keep going over the Hopi 10 now that the Y2K thing passed. I thought maybe that's what they were talking about. But, you know, it's huge. Have you had people call you and ask you about the Hopi 10?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Multi-dimensional.
We talk about it on our Native Prophecy Council mailing list on Yahoo groups quite a bit.
Uh-huh. And what has the discussion been like with that?
Oh, just how to prepare for what might be coming, you know, what to do and in what order.
Yeah, we need to be minding our business right now, and it's important to speak our truth. That's critical, and also by way of doing that, be able to find each other and create our communities. It's remarkable what they've done with our tax dollar, collecting it as they do and then using it against us. I am very suspicious as I hear more and more about the tsunamis and the hurricanes and the ability of some rather astonishing minds who would be able to control that or set it off. Or from what I understand with this last hurricane, that there were some very strange things observed about it as it was building. And I have heard on a few other programs that they may not have the ability to whip one of those hurricanes up, but that they may be capable of directing it once it happens.
All you gotta do is heat the water.
What?
All you have to do is heat the water underneath it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, in the meantime, I'm trying to be beautiful, and I'm definitely having times of extraordinary moments of gratitude. In the midst of it all, there is, as I said, that's all that I can say to you and to the people out there, is there is a still, quiet place within where one can contact the Amakua, your ancestor spirits and the high self. And that we need to get as clear as possible and find that core place and be present, very present, because I feel there may be something wonderful coming, that this is all something in motion and in process.
Oh, and by the way, folks, if you want to take a look at Grandmother Chakosha's website, it's at blanketofhope.com. What is it? flagofhope.com order.
What is
flagofhope.com, isn't it?
Could be .org.
Okay.
Oh,
there's a link.
The blanketofhope.org.
Yeah, there's a link on the page that people are listening to the interview. It'll say guest website.
I haven't done too much with that website, and I'd like to get all of the stories from the elders and all the one-liners. They're so helpful for these times, and just get that put up. You know, if someone would like to assist me in doing that, I can't be everywhere at once. And part of the Hopi prophecy was that at the 11th hour, we would have two technologies. One, definitely out of balance, would be a technology of destruction, and that it would present itself as a gourd of ashes in the sky. And that if it were released, it would boil the oceans and end all life as we know it. But they said that there would be an alternative technology that would be the other choice, and that would be the technology of communication, and that seen from outer space, looking back at the earth with spirit's eye, it would be like a shimmering spider's web surrounding and embracing the earth and enabling the people who were scattered to the four directions to be able to communicate and mend the sacred hoop. This is actually a petroglyph carved into a great rock on Third Mesa between Oraibi and Kagosmovi. And Thomas Banyakya took me up there, many years ago, almost 40 years ago now. And there it was, carbon dated about 1,200 years ago,
wow.
And knew about the World Wide Web.
Mm.
So we need to be communicating with each other, but using this instrument in a sacred manner, not all this garbage that they seem to be flooding us with. You got it? Stay straight and clear, your eye on the core truth.
Yep. I guess there's good and bad and everything.
Yeah. It isn't what happens to you, but how you use it. I love what Uncle John, the Iroquois elder, said about the time of the lone wolf is over. We must gather ourselves. Seems to me that unifying at this time is very, very important, and to act from a sacred place.
Well, it's difficult because everybody's been so used to finding reasons to get away from other people. It's awful hard to find reasons to get together with other folks. It's
Well, I did a meditation while I was waiting for you to call me, and what I got was that we must not allow ourselves to be disunified. You know, we must not allow any kinds of religious or economic or racial or any of these nonsense judgment places to come between us. We're all sacred people, and at this time, especially here on Turtle Island, where you have the Asian, African, Middle Eastern, Anglo, Native, Polynesian, all these different beautiful colors and cultures, this is such a rich soup, and in division, we will fall. And in coming together and seeing the sacred and refusing to treat each other with anything less, they're going to be working on us in the coming days very hard to divide and conquer, to distract us with all kinds of stuff. It's important to realize that it is just stuff.
No.
May I offer a tool from the elders for moments like these?
Yes, please.
Okay. There is something called, well, I don't know if the elders called it this, but it's how I label it, and it's called finding the center of your seat of power.
I see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now. This AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason. But I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them. And that, to me, is the most important thing in a man's. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, and I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm a, it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities, and there's so much professionalism. You know, if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity. By the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
In this life, in this level of reality that we are living, we are distracted, we are fragmented, we get so overwhelmed with the avalanche of stuff. And it's in this moment when you realize you're being pushed here and pulled there and you're out of balance, and my God, like when we open our computers, it's our emails, there's all this stuff you have to wade through. Well, there's a very easy way to take care of that psychically, spiritually. All that stuff is in our minds. It's all coming in from every angle. And so what you see yourself doing is standing and drawing a circle around yourself and leave a little space open. Then you call in the whirlwind, our little cyclone, and you call it in, and it comes in like a vacuum cleaner, and it goes and it sucks up all the stuff that's inside of that circle and all the stuff that's on you, and it goes and it sucks up all the stuff. Now the elders say you need to realize what stuff is. Well, stuff is everything except for the fact that you are a part of the great divine inexplicable miracle of this existence, that you are a cell in the body of God's spirit. So this cyclone comes in and it goes, you can feel it, sometimes it gives me goosebumps, and it goes, sucks up all the stuff, the good stuff, the bad stuff, it's all just stuff. Everything but the fact that you're part of divine being is stuff, and it sucks it up off of you and out of inside of the circle, and then you send it out of your circle and seal the circle. Close it so it's complete. Now straighten up tall and feel yourself moving around until you feel the exact center of that circle. You will always find it. It's there. And it goes. imagine as your feet slip into that place of being in the cleaned out center of your circle. You are now standing in the center of your seat of power, and you will feel it.
Oh, sounds like a good technique.
Yeah, well, it works, you know, it works. That's why I call these things the 11th hour tools for spiritual warriors who are in a hurry. And then there's the big guns. You want to know about the big guns?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This is a protection against psychic drain and physical danger. And it's good to practice it in situations where you know that you usually go where it just feels like you're getting attacked or drained, or sometimes when you need physical protection. But I would start in a not too malevolent situation for starters, but practice is what makes you be able to own this tool. My teacher told me you see yourself inside of an ice blue egg. Well, I won't argue with whatever color, you know, you use, but what he said was an ice blue egg. And I'll tell you, I've stopped fists from coming at me. I've been able to hold meetings, successful meetings with people who just absolutely drained me, or I would feel very self-conscious or not in my power around. But this ice blue egg, it seems to neutralize the space between you and whatever it is that you need protection from. And I've been able to have pretty good relations with keeping things clear. It just neutralizes all the stuff.
Fascinating.
We're dealing with a lot of stuff in this life right now, but we need to recognize it as stuff, and tools are helpful.
What about, do you think physical preparations are as important as spiritual preparations, or how would you sort that out?
Well, we've got a physical body and we've got a spiritual body. I think they go hand in hand. I think one assists the other. And I think that while we're trying to figure this thing out, I think that the most important of the two is the spiritual. You need to be able to keep your head and your heart clear and strong. But I think that both may be a good idea. I think they're partners, just like, as I said, our physical and our spiritual bodies. We've been given both for a reason. And I don't think that I definitely would not start putting away water and food and all that stuff and not attend to my spiritual garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because you where your head and your heart at is that is the most important thing. And if push comes to shove, once you've got that in order, then it's good to know where are you living, what are you doing, what are your relationships, are you in right relations, and it's time to... And then I say, where is your water?
Mm-hmm.
Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your communities. Be good to each other. And do not look outside yourself for the leader. And then I keep seeing, thank goodness, this elder, Hopi elder, leaned forward and his eyes sparkled and he brought his hands together and said, and this could be a good time.
Mm.
So I think there's a lot in there. It's like an Indian Native American cone. Things to think about. Things to be responsible to. And we must not distract ourselves. I feel as though, and I have been told, that all the people who are on the planet at this time knew exactly what they were coming for. And so it's time to hone those tools and be really decent human beings and pay attention. Oh, here's something else that the Hopis told me back around 1966. We're going, I'm in my little car with Grandfather David Menangi, Thomas Manyakya, and the Oraibi chief's husband, an amazing man named John Langsa. And I'm so concerned about my behavior and if I'm doing the right thing. Is they're taking me to Walpi and Shingopavi and Shimpalavi and all these different villages to meet the people. And he just told me to pull over by the side of the road, stop the car, turn off the key. And he said, now look, there are three things for you to remember. First one is to wake up and be aware. Be aware. And then he said, then ask permission. And then it is up to you. So however those words might apply to other people's lives, they need to think about that. What does that mean to you?
Most of us are
organize ourselves.
Most of us are just kind of unconscious all the time.
Yeah, well, they want us to be that way, you know, like squirrels in a cage and on that little wheel and just trying to pay the rent and look out for our children and, you know, the next payment on whatever. And that's all stuff. That's stuff, you know, needs to be taken care of. Nice to have a roof that doesn't leak. But no matter what you put away for yourself in the physical realm, if you haven't found your balanced place in the spirit place, it's you're going to squander your actions.
Yep.
Does that make sense to you?
Sure does. Sure does. I know we've ever since the early 80s when I really kind of became aware of what might happen. We've always kind of looked at life pretty basically and really have tried as much as we can to be mobile and still kind of have enough preparations around us that we could have as much control over utility dislocations and, you know, not being able to buy different things and having a little food on hand and trying to do as much as we can, you know, toward eating things that aren't processed and, you know, which that takes, you know, that involves tools and food storage and other preparations
don't want to fixate on that sort of stuff, but it behooves us to
keep it simple.
You know, to be responsible.
It's just keeping things simple. You know, canning and gardening.
Right.
We've got a great garden this year. We're gonna have a better one next year. It's well, I know our pepper plants are what we did this year. I haven't even told you about that. We bought, about 26 gallon garbage cans and filled them up with Miracle-Gro potting soil. And we've got everything plumbed with drip irrigation, and everything is, you know, It's on a clock system where it gets...
Oh, why?
You know, it gets...
So you're doing container gardening.
Yeah, and we bought, about 20 or so garbage cans, and we also had 20 or so of about 25 gallon storage bins, like the Mermaid ones.
Mm-hmm.
And where we cut the flat part of the lids off and put up maybe 100 holes in each one, and underneath them suspended 5 1-quart painter's mixing buckets, drilled holes in those, put them in the bottom of the bottom of the bins, made a pipe so the water could get down to the bottom. Then you put the dirt on top of that, so there's always water available to the roots, and the plants can water and feed whenever they want to, and don't have to depend on you for water. It's wicked up.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's
May I ask you why you chose to do container gardening rather than to set it right directly into the earth?
Well, we live in a mobile home.
Oh.
And the Ozarks here, you only have to dig about a quarter inch, you're going to hit about 4 rocks.
Oh, that's a good reason.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good reason.
And we chose the, garbage cans we chose because, like the tomato plants and things like that are really deep rooting, pepper plants and other stuff like that we put in there. And the other, like, row crops and everything we put in the containers. And just kind of did some experimenting this year. And
oh, that must feel so good. I
remember
in a place that I had in Southern California, the soil was pretty much clay-packed, and we also had an underground city of gophers.
Mm.
And so after some planting that didn't go very well, I just started digging holes in the ground, and then I dropped my buckets into the ground and then did the container gardening.
Mm.
And people didn't realize when they'd come and they'd say, wow, how'd you ever get them to grow? This looks so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally they would see that they were all in containers in the mm-hmm. ground, which kept the gophers out. Mm-hmm. They ate more than their share.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched a sunflower being sucked down into the ground.
Well, we've grown all kinds of different lettuces and chard and strawberries. We're still eating strawberries, onions, cucumbers. Had a volunteer eggplant, okra, watermelon, just all kinds of stuff. We went through 85. 40-pound sacks of potting mix.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is so great. And it's more than just making food for yourself. There is a whole psychology and spiritual parenting that
mm-hmm.
happens with caring for these miracle plants, you know, and what planting the seed and pulling the weeds and watching them grow and taking care of them.
Betty bought a little dwarf banana plant. The last
no
couple
kidding.
Nights, it's been, yeah, it's about 3 feet tall. Last couple of nights, it's been getting kind of cool, so we brought it in and had a little 3-inch long praying mantis. Took up residence on it. And, that's okay. Little praying mantis that's taking up residence on itself. So he's in the house now. We got to figure out how to feed him through the winter. Shouldn't be too hard.
Who knows? Maybe it's an ancestor and it'll
could be
speak wisdoms to you.
Maybe it's something that ate us in the past or will in the future. Cute little guy. We call him Mr. Magoo.
Oh, that's
little,
great.
Little googly eyes, you know.
You know, when you start growing some things, it just opens up your senses to another whole world. We need to involve ourselves in the miracles inherent in this life. You know?
It's been a lot
Focus
of fun.
On that, because it still continues. It's still there.
And, you know, if we...
Good to be a gardener.
If we move this mobile home someplace, you know, the garden can all be put on a, you know, a 20-foot car trailer. Just put all the containers up on there and move them.
Oh, I love that.
Someplace else. And, you know, potting soil is expensive. You're talking about 80 times, you know, 750. And,
yeah.
And then we're going to add...
expensive.
You know, next... You know, there'll be more. You know, next... you know, we were able to do as much as we could afford, and garden will get bigger next year.
Yeah, and then you can also start mixing it when you don't have to dump this potting soil next season, but you can mix it with composting that you find and the fall leaves and the humus that, you know, is in the ground and that you find in different spots, so it can be mixed. And
yeah.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osman back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osman.
Put it
Osman. Under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you
no,
tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osman, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
And expand it a bit.
Yeah, some friends.
But boy, it's sure worth it, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. I have some friends that keep goats, and I tell you that soil that had goat to manure in it and has aged for a couple of years, that's just unbelievable stuff. Sweet potatoes we've grown also, and just all kinds of stuff. You know, Betty goes out every day and brings out. The only thing is we don't have a. We don't have a lawnmower, kind of depend on the landlord. Here we're in a little mobile home park. There's about 16 trailers here. We're the only, it's just an old rundown place, and we're the only mobile home in here that's inhabited. And there's just, the grass gets high, and so we gotta figure out when you get to be our age, you know, really need to get a riding lawnmower, so
yeah.
That's what everybody around here in Missouri's got one. So,
or run an ad for someone who's got some goats that would like to come and graze.
Yeah, well, we're in the city, and we don't own the place, so landlord
oh.
would allow something like that. But he's got one, but it keeps breaking down. He'll you know spend $100 on one, and it'll run for you know a half a day, and then quit, and then he wonders. he's just a poor guy. So.
Oh, I thought you were maybe talking about a goat that kept breaking down.
It's a riding lawnmower. And, folks around here just don't have much money. And
Well, that's how it's getting for the people of Turtle Island generally. And they're
going
to need to open up their eyes instead of resisting their economic situations. do a wabi-sabi, what the Japanese call elegance in poverty. There are ways to be so creative and ways to really live elegantly and eloquently and have what you need on a really a high level. I'm finding that whatever my income has been, that my struggle was more a mental one than it was really a physical one.
Oh, yeah.
When all was said and done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm just not struggling anymore.
Got to do that. I mean, you know, witness what happened in New Orleans. I mean, us poor people down there, you know.
Oh.
But they've just kind of, I just kind of feel like most of those people, and I grew up in Louisiana, Mississippi, around poor blacks, and, you know, most of them, a lot of them just gave up generations ago. They gave up any hope.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are very bitter. Some of them are not, you know, some of them are eternally, it's really individual. You know, the ones that are the bitterest are the ones that get involved in crime, and some of them are the most spiritual. Oh, some of them are the biggest spiritual warriors that you ever want to meet in your life.
That's right, and look what an incredible culture was created out of that soup.
Oh, yeah.
In that area. It's just remarkable. Well, you know, I heard a story. Maybe I read it. It's about this this elder, this grandfather, and he's sitting and having a talk with his grandson, and the grandson is wanting to know more about life and feeling bad because sometimes the grandson can get very angry and gets into fights with the other kids and just, you know, just gets into his anger. And the grandfather is saying, well, you know, it's like with me, son. Inside of me, they're like two wolves at war with each other. One wolf is... gets bitter and angry and vengeful. One wolf inside of me wishes that I had more and that I was treated better and wants to sometimes just take what I want. And then there is the other wolf that sees that all people struggle. All people can be confused or afraid. There's the other wolf that knows that even in my poverty, I can find a gift or make something that will bring smiles to someone's eyes, and I can extend my hand and help someone, even though I don't have much for myself. But then there's the other wolf, and they are at war with each other. And the little boy says, well, which one will win, Grandfather? And the old man looks at him, and he says, the one I choose to feed.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Well, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. And as you know, there was a time where I was in a terrible car crash, which killed my friend who was driving. And that when the rescue workers came, they wrote on this piece of paper that we were both dead. They saw no vital signs. So on one level, I died, not only there at the scene of the car crash, but 2 days later when the breathing apparatus was removed and I awoke to find myself not able to breathe, and that this time I knew I was dying. And what I know from this and what I can share with other people is what, again, Uncle John, the Iroquois elder, said to me just a week before this car crash happened. He said, you know, there is no such thing as death. There is no such thing in this universe, this reality. There is no such thing as death. There is only life. Life in this body and life without it. And then he also said, and it's important that you know that in these really violent deaths, that the soul will always leave the body. just before it happens.
Hmm.
And then a week later, I died. And I know this is not a belief or a desire to believe, but from my experience, I know that one minute you can be in your body, and the next minute you've let go of it, and the difference is imperceptible.
Mm-hmm.
And why I think we need someone who comes from the other side to help us across in our consciousness, because I still felt like me, I still felt my personality, I could still feel my body. I didn't have a clue, and not for a moment did my consciousness, was there nothing. One moment I was in the car with my friend, and the next minute my experience was we were walking down the highway together having the most interesting conversation I'd ever had. And then when they started bringing me back, at first the noise and the light seemed like a dream that was trying to intrude on my reality of walking down the highway with my friend. And then that the second reality became more real, and then I saw her go off without me. But that we mustn't allow a fear of death to interfere or to complicate our walking a true path.
I don't think anybody,
when we're on it, we know we're there.
I don't think anybody's really afraid of dying. I think they're just afraid of the pain. You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think you're kind of nuts to not want to, you know, change worlds. And I think it's just the unknown, you know, of...
I'm trying to stay open as we speak, and we're sort of exploring this unknown territory of this public conversation, dialogue that we're having with each other, and to see what comes up. And this seems to be an important thing. Grandfather Victor Lopez Gallego said, "Don't cry and call out for the elders who have gone on, and be afraid that we won't be here for you." He said, it is important that you understand at this time, the veil of illusion between this life and those that have gone on to the next, this consciousness and the greater, higher consciousness that is never ending and always present, the veil is at its thinnest. And we, the elders who have gone on, want to help all those who ask and all those who wish to be of service. We want you people to succeed. And there is a way that you can contact us. And then he told me, at night, he said, eat lightly, fast if you can, or just eat very lightly, very mild food so that your body isn't all taken up with trying to digest the last meal. And he said, adjust yourself in your bed so that you can lie perfectly flat with your spine straight. And he said, take a pillow and slip it under your left elbow so that you can rest your left hand over your heart, and that it's supported so it won't slip down. And then take your right hand and lay it at your side. Find a comfortable angle with the palm open. Left hand resting on your heart. Right hand open. And he said, and then just breathe us in. Do whatever ritual is necessary for you to feel that you are only opening and availing yourself to high spirit, clear spirit. And he said, and we will come. And we'll guide you, and we may use you. And should there come a point where you wish to break that link, you know, he said, just roll over on your side. Just, break the position. And I did that for years. I'm wanting to start that again soon because I'm feeling a great desire for guidance these days. And I'm, you know, what are we here for if not to serve and make life a little easier for each other? And if the elders are that close, and that the simple positioning of our body and our intention can open us to them.
I was going to say, I think intention is really important, because what little I know about Cherokee medicine is that Cherokee medicine people create their own, and they take what they know with them when they leave, and but they develop their own, and I think everybody just kind of, it's kind of a free-form intention, you know, just little rituals that they create for certain reasons. And I know I've read that Grandfather Mad Bear, he knew when the elders on the other side wanted to contact him because, you know, there'd be a knock on a window or a door.
Uh-huh.
So he'd... and every once in a while I'll get that too. I'll be laying in bed and kind of half awake, half asleep, and I'll hear this bam, 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 you know, and I've heard this in trucks in the middle of nowhere where no one could have come close to the, different places, different times, and haven't heard it quite some time, but I guess a morning before last, heard the knocks, and I knew it was a spirit knock because the dogs didn't go nuts.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, there was about 3 minutes after I got up, there was an important phone call that came, and that I really needed to take. It was somebody that needed some assistance, wanted to know about a product that my wife's taking to help out her diabetes. And it never ceases to amaze me how spirit will run your... It'll help you run your life if you listen.
Yes, if you provide a portal for it, and usually that's in a ceremony or a ritual that sets your intention. And it's absolutely available, and it doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just our attention.
That's right. That's what we keep telling people, is we want to enable them to know when to get out of the way of things so that they don't get caught up in them. And, we want people to be a do-it-yourself prophet. You know, Moses said, hey, this is okay. You know, when people came complaining to him in the camp of Israel, you know, oh, Moses, like people running around prophesying, you know, what are you going to do? And his reply was, well, basically, well, so what? You know, I would that everybody could be a prophet. So
mm-hmm.
It's a very basic something that that everybody can tap into and get protection from and help to run your life. Is that gift of knowing what Creator wants you to do, and but you got to surrender. You know, that's the tough part. Is if you don't continue to surrender, that's what John Redhead kept saying before he died. You know, he said our job is to surrender. You know, we come here with free will, and you know, it could be a big party. He says, and our job is to learn how to surrender.
Well, you know, its spirit is there. I mean, it really is there. And but it only comes in the surrender. But it's an interesting dichotomy in that you are responsible and yet you surrender. You don't give over your responsibility to right action, but there is a place. To me, I try to find the words for it, and it's I don't know. It's a surrender to core truth. The Brazilians have a wonderful term that means something to me. It's they let spirit ride them.
Mm.
And we don't have to be long meditators in the perfect diet and having, come to a place of great spiritual evolvement. It's just the wherever you are, it will meet you there. However low, high, whatever, just to, I find the breath, conscious breathing, is a really quick way to that core point, that place of peace.
Yeah, that's one of the first things Spirit told me was remember the sacred breath.
Yahweh is not a word for God that's not to be spoken. It's to be breathed, like the aloha, the namaste. It is in this body we breathe from our first breath as we come out of the mother's womb to our last breath as we shed the old overcoat and leave it behind us.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quiñones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quiñones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Well, you're in a very cultural rich environment out there in California. There's a lot of things going on.
Lots happening.
Yeah,
just oodles.
I get email from a lot of different directions, and there's one conference. It's called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh yeah,
a
movie too.
Well, that's how I found out about Maria Yaxbru and. She's a mixed-blood Apache, lives down in San Diego. Started interviewing her a couple of weeks ago. She's really busy, so it's hard to get an appointment with her. And my telephone network went down, so I got about 15 minutes. But we'll have her on again sometime soon.
Oh, I hope so.
And,
women have a lot to say right now.
Oh,
you know, the Bioneers Conference is coming up in about 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And that's very important tonight. Tell people to check the website for the Bioneers Conference.
Well, you're about, halfway in between L.A. and the Bay Area?
Oh, I'm north of the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, people are being incredibly creative. You know, this is the time to do it. If you ever had a vision, a dream, as Goethe said, the universe loves boldness. Whatever you can dream, you can begin it, and the universe will rise to meet you. It is really true at this time. This is not a time to stand still. And sometimes we may not know the whole picture and what we're supposed to be doing, but we've got a feeling, an inkling. Well, I say your prayers, light some sage or some sweet grass and some cedar and some kapal, some frankincense, whatever gets you, and just do it. Just begin. and not to use the word struggle. I'm told we're supposed to expulse the word struggle from our vocabulary and our mindset, and do whatever you have to do in a sense of celebration. It's all about your attitude. And just begin it, and everything will come from that. Just begin it. This is not a time to be standing still, you know. Have your rituals, say your prayers, and ask to be used in a good way, and move forward. We're a nation of sacred souls. There's tons of us out there, tons of us, and it's happening all over the earth right now. There is a invitation to consciousness and right action, and this is the time. When the elders called me back to Hopi in 93, and they said, Chakosh, you've been telling the people this is the 11th hour. Well, now you must go back and tell them it is the hour, and there are things to be considered. And not to do it in a sense of fear. There is no death. There is just life. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. You know.
Yep.
Say your prayers.
Very good advice.
Do it. Just do it.
Yep.
I'm not so sure I have much more to say about that, but it sure is good talking to you, nephew.
Well, we sure appreciate you. Yeah. The interesting spirit just told me the interview's over, and then you said it was over. I know who's running this show tonight.
Yeah, spirit really is there. You know, it really does exist. And we just have to, when people say, oh, that was wonderful, your story, so da-da-da-da-da-da, and they, how do you do this? Oh, I could never do that. And I said, look, my job is to just show up and then find a way to get out of the way.
Well, I was getting ready to think, oh, this is over. Well, how am I going to suggest to her we end the interview? And then she ends the interview.
We went through the same spirit.
And here you're worried when we started, you know, that you were kind of distracted and you wondered how this was going to go tonight. And so I guess the Carlos and the Kai and the candles and whatever else you've been burning in there.
And I kept breathing.
Yep.
We're such vessels of miracles. We are capable of so much if we just stay clean and show up. It's just so important for people to stay away from these drugs that our government is actually making so available and wants us to saturate ourselves with them. Of course they want, you know, people who are comatose. But we've got everything that we need in the vessels we were born with. And now is the time.
Have you got a little winged friend in there at your house?
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, my bird here has, his name is Huckabrat. And he just starts going. He does this little two-step kind of a rumba.
What is he?
He's a cockatiel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it didn't sound like a budgie.
No. He's got a million different sounds. He's not very sociable.
Mm.
But he's having a good time right now.
Well, we'll let you go pay some attention to him and give him a kiss for us.
Yeah. And I've got a new kitty that just came up and took his place in my lap, purring away, you know. Grow your garden, know where your water is, speak your truth, be good to each other. And we don't need a leader, you know, we're sacred spirits.
That's certainly true. Well, thanks so much, Auntie.
Love on you, Blue Otter, and blessings to all of you. We're here now, let's do it.
And folks, I want to be sure and visit her website and the links on the page you're listening from. Let her know how you feel. Love to hear from you. Well, this has been October 1st edition of 2005 of Prophecy Keepers Radio, and we'll see everybody again next week. Aho! Good night, Hal.
This is Yasa Sago, a seventh grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction, and importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all... are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph. Before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells, yes indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. Simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to an electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase, and most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best-known one of which is the two-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical. And obviously, many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again, prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper. Let the truth